You've been my friend for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love he's given me. He was my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but Jesus was there. And he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures and borrowed dreams, all life's joy you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, God's will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have me be. For I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, glory to God. Thank you, Brother Ingram. And now that's just a little taste. We're going to have a lot of that tonight. All right? And so you come with an appetite and with a hunger for singing and preaching. We're just going to throw it all together tonight, make a big old glorified biscuit out of it, all right? Have a good time tonight, and we'll get all of our Christmas family things done this afternoon, be back in the house of God tonight, 7 o'clock, right across the street. For those of you that are new to our church, it's on the bottom floor of our two-story educational building. And by the way, if some of you ladies are free this afternoon, if you'll see Mrs. Waits, she could probably use some help. I think she's got some ladies that will be helping her this afternoon, but if you'd like to come up a little bit early and be a part of preparing for tonight, you're welcome to do so if you'd see her. Luke chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Luke chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 12. On this Christmas morning, I'd like to speak to you, church, this morning on the greatest journey ever taken. The greatest journey ever taken. Luke chapter 2. And Hebrews chapter 12. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to read the first 7 verses of Luke 2. Then we're going to read one verse in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. The scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now we know from Old Testament scripture this was already foretold many, many hundreds of years before the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took place. And may I say to you this morning, if you know nothing about the virgin birth of Christ, let me tell you something. Without the virgin birth, we have no salvation. Without the virgin birth, there would be no cross. There would be no resurrection. And because of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, we're here today to celebrate that wonderful, that glorious birth. But may I say to you, that was just one phase and one stage of the overall journey. And I want you to look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here in this one verse, you have every entity represented about the journey that Jesus Christ would take. And I want to take these verses this morning and preach to you about the greatest journey ever taken. Father, we pray this morning, please, in the name of the Holy Spirit of God and in the power of Jesus Christ, we pray this morning that on this special day, on this birthday of the King, that, Lord, that we might have our hearts filled and our spirits encouraged about the message of the gospel of Christ, about the birth of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how it all fits together today. And I pray that you'd open up now our hearts and our spirit that we might receive the teaching and preaching of your word. And we'll give all the glory and praise to thee in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And you can be seated. The greatest journey ever embarked upon, my dear friend, was taken by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us have taken journeys in our life before that's taken us to quite some unique places and some interesting places in the world. Many of you have traveled around the world and seen some incredible things. You see, many of us, when we went on these trips, we took pictures. And those pictures that we took are in our home, and we filled up picture albums, and from time to time we like to take those albums out and rehearse those pictures and look at those pictures about what the trips that we've taken, and helps us remember those trips. And all we love to get around as family and open those albums up and begin to talk about, do you remember this? You remember when we did this? You remember when we went here? And boy, everybody's chit-chatting and talking about the memories of the journey or a trip that they took somewhere in life. I want to say this morning that probably everybody here that's taking a vacation, one vacation stands out above all the rest. One vacation or one trip that you took stands out above all the rest. And this is the one that when the family gets together, it's the one you talk about the most. Remember, I remember our family taking a trip, probably one of the most memorable vacations that we took. It was a two-week vacation. We swung through, I mean, I don't know how many states we went through, but we end up in Yellowstone National Park. And boy, I'm telling you, we went through that park and just saw some of the most incredible, I'll just be honest with you, weird-looking stuff I've ever seen in my life. And, man, we went to these, whatever they call them, those clay pots or mush pots or whatever it is where you got stuff bubbling out of the ground. We went to all these geysers and all this just strange, unique things in nature. That was a memorable trip. Some of you have taken trips like that, and you've got the pictures to talk about, and you love sitting around talking about those memorable things. One trip stands above all others. But I want to tell you today about a journey that stands out and should in a Christian's life above all other trips. I want to talk to you about a journey that should stand out above all others this morning. I want to talk to you today and tell you about the most wonderful, the most loving, the most exciting journey ever taken. And that was taken by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago. And can I tell you that that trip was a round trip? Do you understand where I'm coming from? I said it's a round trip. You say, how long did it take him to make that round trip? A little over 33 years. But he got back. That round trip that he took place started from the right hand of the throne of God in that wonderful place, that beautiful place that we know of as heaven and in the presence of the Father. You see, my friend, that journey led him from the portals and the prestige of the glory of heaven down to a womb of a little virgin girl, a little Israelite girl that rejoiced in the Lord that she had the opportunity to give birth to the Messiah. This journey continued on from not just there, but to a stable where the donkeys and the cows and the sheep were kept there to be born because there was no room in the end. You see, today we're here as Gentiles today, and we rejoice in the Savior. But you see, the reason that most of the Jewish world today declined that Jesus Christ was the Savior, because they didn't expect their king to come and be born in a manger. They didn't expect their king to be born in a horse stall. But can I tell you something? The truth and the prophecies were already in place. God had already foretold not only of how we would be born, but where he would be born. And yet Jesus, in his own ministry and stuff, verified that he was the Messiah. But most of the Jewish world rejects him today because it said our king would never come and be born in a horse stall. Our king would never be born and be laid in a manger. Yet here the Son of God came humble, lowly in mind, a servant. You see, this journey not only continued from there, it continued on to a manger where he was visited by shepherds who had heard the message from the angels. Can you imagine these shepherds watching their flocks by night, and all of a sudden the sky splits open and a whole host of angels announcing the birth of the Messiah, the Son of God. And these dear shepherds were so excited and about the announcement that they went into Bethlehem and there observed the virgin-born Son of God. 8 days later, Jesus' journey would lead him to Jerusalem for the proper sacrifices and dedication before the Lord. And there in the temple, that day, Jesus found himself in the arms of an old saint of God by the name of Simeon, who had gotten a promise from God that he would not see death until his eyes had beheld the Christ. You see, that journey continued and allowed him to be visited by kings of the earth who brought gifts and worshiped him. Because of the threats of Herod, Jesus' journey then led him down into Egypt, taken there by his earthly father, Joseph, to protect him from Herod's decree to kill all males 2 years and down. Well, later, after Herod's death, Joseph brought Mary and Jesus back into Israel, but he detoured to Nazareth that day because he was afraid of the son of Herod. And so therefore, Jesus spent most of his young life in a little town called Nazareth. You see, for some years, Jesus lived in Nazareth, and his journey picked up in Scripture when he was about 12 years old. His family made their way back to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. They made their way to the temple, and there they found their 12-year-old son. After heading back to Nazareth, they said, "Where's Jesus?" They said, "He's not here." So they went back. It took them 3 days, but they found him reasoning with the doctors in the temple. And there his mother said, "Son, don't you realize what was going on? And we were afraid." And he looked at his own mother at 12 years old, and he said, "I must be about my Father's business." You see, he came from the Father above. Holy Ghost overshadowed that little virgin girl, and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. You see, if he would have been doing the work of his father, Joseph, he'd have been building something. He'd been making some woodwork because his father was a carpenter. He would have been doing something, but he wasn't. He was not of an earthly father. He was of a heavenly father. So he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Well, we know very little about the journey between 12 years old and 30 years old. But one day, a man by the name of John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River. And there, appearing on the scene once again in Scripture, was the Lord Jesus Christ continuing his journey. And there he appeared on the shores of Jordan. And John the Baptist looked at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And Jesus came to John the Baptist, and he says, "I must needs be baptized." And John at first didn't want to baptize him. And Jesus said, "No, it's okay. You go ahead and baptize me." You say, did John know who Jesus was? Of course he did. He knew who Jesus was 6 months into his productive stage. Remember when the Word of God came and Mary met Elizabeth, and he said that, "Listen, an angel appeared to me in this night, and I would be the one who would bring the Savior into the world." And Elizabeth, his mother, John the Baptist, still 6 months into his developmental stage, leapt in his mother's womb. Leapt for joy. Why? Because of the announcement of the Son of God. Yeah, John the Baptist knew who he was. For the next 3.5 years, my friend, listen carefully, The journey of Jesus would take him all over the lands of Israel. It would take him to places of teaching. It would take him to places of preaching. It would take him to places of healing. Listen now, sometimes his journey required rebuking. He had to rebuke some people during the journey. Miracles abounded everywhere he went until one day his journey now would take a turn toward a cross. You see, in a matter of less than 24 hours, Jesus journeyed from Gethsemane to the high priest, to Pontius Pilate, to Herod, and back to Pontius Pilate, and eventually to the cross. May I take you today, remind you that on that cross, there were a number of people that were gathered that day at the foot of the cross, but there's one I want to say and point out in particular that was there that day. There that day at the foot of the cross, as he looked down, he saw that same sweet, blessed face that he saw the first time he was birthed into this world. He looked up and there he saw the sweet face of his mama, except this time he was hanging on a cross, dying for the sins of the world. And there was his mama there, and he cared for her. Matter of fact, he turned her over to John and he says, "Behold thy mother, mother, behold thy son." And Jesus didn't leave his own mother comfortless. You see, there at that cross, his mother Mary was there, who brought him in through a divine birth into this world. And there, listen now, she followed him to the very end. I just want to say here and just stop and just throw this in. I've said this before. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. When everybody else forsake you, mama will be there. Mama will be there to help you. Now some people say, "No, mama, you're not to help them." Listen to you, nothing can go beyond a mother's love and the attachment a mother has to a child that she went into the jaws of death and brought into this world. Nobody can take that away from mama, and don't even try to do it. Mama was there. We know that later she was there at the tomb as well. She followed Jesus every step of the journey, knowing, listen now, that the day that she gave birth, that this would be the end. This was how it was all going to come to pass. May I say to you this morning that now that Jesus is hanging on a cross, there are no shepherds to come and bow. Can I tell you that now that Jesus is on the cross, there are no angels announcing this. There are no more kings offering gifts. There are no more palm leaves that are now being laid in the path, now honoring him. There are no more voices crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King" now. Matter of fact, can I say, there were no human voices announcing his birth either. He came into this world unannounced, and let me tell you something, he left unannounced by humans. You see, now this Jesus, who was once in a cradle, who was once in a manger, now has made his journey to a cross. Jesus, who was at one time held in the arms of Joseph. Jesus, who was one time held in the arms of Mary, his mother, and in the arms of Simeon, is now without comfort and no touch from a comforting hand anymore. You see, this once tender baby has now become the sin for the whole world. And now he hangs in shame before all the world, forsaken by the Father, yet condemning our sins in the flesh. Well, it's been 33 years plus, but Jesus has finished his journey. What he started, he finished. I said, what he started, he finished. You see, soon his journey would take him now from that cross to a tomb and back to the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. You say, "Preacher, why'd you tell us that story?" Because it's the greatest journey that's ever been taken. It was a round trip ticket. And we now find him sitting at the right hand of God as our advocate, as our intercessor. And let me tell you something, every time the old deceiver, every time the old devil tries to accuse you, if you're a child of God, tries to accuse you before the throne of God, there sitting at the right hand of God is one making intercession for you, your advocate between you and the Father. Because of the shed blood of Christ, you better thank God that he finished what he started. Greatest journey ever taken. Listen, he's not in the cradle today. And by the way, listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but listen to me, he's not on that cross that's hanging around your neck either. You know where he is today? He's sitting at the right hand of God. Why don't we have people who have something with Jesus sitting on the throne around their neck? not on the cross. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. If the cross ended it, we're still in our sins. We're lost without God. Thank God he took a journey, and that journey was a round trip ticket from glory to glory. Now, with that said, let's get to what I want to really say today. All right? I just wanted to tell you the story. Well, listen, when you came to church, you expected to hear something about the birth of Christ, didn't you? Well, there it is. There's the journey in a little nutshell today, from the throne and back to the throne of God. And praise God. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Can you imagine those disciples that day as they stood on Mount Olivet and they saw Jesus step on that taxi cloud and ascend back to heaven, and they began to look up? Can you imagine what they thought in their hearts? Listen, even though Jesus had told them over and over and over about his journey, about where he started and where it was going to end, they were kind of like some of us. They just let it go in one ear and right out the other. As they stood there and looking, wondering, well, you know what, boys? It's fun while it lasted, but he's gone and we're left alone. But let me tell you something. Two angels appeared to them. And they said, you know what? You men of Galilee, don't be afraid. This same Jesus that you say see taken up from you today, he shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Can I tell you something today? Even though he's taken a great journey, there's still another phase of the journey to be taken. That journey is going to happen one day when the eastern sky splits and the Father says, go down and get your bride. And he's going to come and he's going to complete the journey one day. And guess what? You and I get to be a part of that next one. We get to be a part when we come back riding white horses if we met him in death. If not, then let me tell you something. When the trumpet sounds and the archangel cries, listen to you, this gravity on this earth ain't going to hold me here. I'm going to meet him in the sky someday and forever be with the Lord. Hey, this journey, for now, just there's more to this. But that's not the point. The point is simply this. Here's what I want to give you. Ready? Here we go. I want to say, first of all, this journey that Jesus took was a planned journey. It's all planned out. You see, when we got ready to go on this vacation to Yellowstone, you know what? It took me a while, but I got everything planned out. I had it planned out where we were stopping, where we were spending the night, what days we were going. You have to buy all of this stuff. I mean, I had it all planned out. And it was all, man, all I had to do was just follow my plan. And I want to say to you this morning that, listen to me, this journey that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took, it was already planned. You say, who was it planned by, preacher? It's planned by the Father. Listen, when man fell for the very first time, and we find in Scripture that he fell, and God had to thrust him out of that Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, God said, as he looked into the face of the serpent, he said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and her seed. The plan was already in process. The Father planned it. The Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4 that when the fullness of time was come, and let me tell you something, Jesus was born right on time. Some of you mamas here were little babies. You thought that your child was going to be born at a certain time, and it didn't work out that way. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus was born right on time, my friend. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son right on time. You know why? So that we might receive the adoption of sons. Thank God for this journey that the Lord Jesus Christ took. It was a planned journey. It was planned by the Father. It was taken by the Son, listen to me now, and it was guided by the Holy Ghost. All of the Godhead was involved in the process and planning of this journey. It was detailed to the utmost. No detail left undertaken. No detail left in this journey that wasn't taken and wasn't observed. Every stop was planned and every step was purposed by God. Take your Bible, hold your place there in Luke 2, if you would. Go to John chapter 17. Go to John 17 for just a moment. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you that are new to Christianity may be new to church. Let me say to you that John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Now the prayer that we always quote, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be, that's the model prayer. This is actually Jesus praying. This is the Lord's Prayer. I want you to see something in John chapter 17 and verse number 3 about how this was all planned. Look what he said. Jesus praying here says, and this is life eternal, and that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Listen now. Whom thou hast sent. You know what? Jesus in his own prayer said, Lord, the plan's working like a gem. He said, everything is going according to plan. And God the Father had planned it all out. You know why? Because you and I needed to be redeemed back to the Father. And I'm here to tell you today, without Jesus Christ, you're lost without God, and you're on your way to an eternity without Jesus Christ. But it was a planned journey. All planned out. All the details, everything was planned to the T. You said, oh, but there's so much hurt and so much sadness and so much, so many things, preacher, in this journey that are so sad. Well, let me tell you something. You know what? God the Father had already planned it out. And I understand that, you know, that when you look at the plan, humanly speaking, we don't understand why God chose this path. But I tell you, one of these days, you can sit right at the feet of the throne of God. You can ask Him all these questions. You know why? But it was a planned journey. It was all planned out. I want to say to you next, not only was it a planned journey, number two, it was a perfect journey. It was planned and it was perfect. Take your Bible, if you would, go to John chapter 19. If you're still there in John, go to John 19. Look at John chapter 19. Remember I told you this journey took Jesus to a cross, from the cradle, from a manger to a cross. Let me tell you how I know it was perfect. When Jesus, therefore, verse number 30, had received the vinegar, here he is on the cross, he uttered three words. Here's what he said. It is finished. I said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, there at that time, I commend my spirit. And into his hands, he commended his spirit back to the Father. Why? Because the plan was going perfectly. It was a perfect plan. Jesus said, Father, I have done it. It is finished. Go back to John 17, if you would. Go to John 17. And verse number 4, remember Jesus still in his prayer? Look at verse 4. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. Listen now, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You see, not only was it a planned journey, it was a perfect journey. And you know what it took to make a perfect journey? It took a perfect Savior to make that journey. No human being could have survived what Jesus survived. No human being, listen, would have even made it to the cross, much less be able to talk from the cross. Thank God. Listen, you think that old thief on the cross cared about all the details of the journey? You think he wanted, listen, in our trip to Yellowstone, my kids weren't interested in where we were stopping to eat and where we were getting gas. You know what they were? They were just interested in where we're staying and what we're seeing. That's all they were interested in. That old thief on the cross, let me tell you something. He wasn't looking for details. He just said, Lord God, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He wasn't concerned about all the stops that Jesus had made on the journey. He wasn't concerned about all that. You know what? He just believed by faith that he was the Son of God. You see, that old thief wasn't there. He probably wasn't there in the manger scene. He probably wasn't there at the birth of Christ. He just believed it by faith. And may I say to you, you weren't there either. You say, well, how do we believe it? You believe it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, I'm here to tell you, just simply, first of all, it was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. Look at verse number 13. John 17, verse number 13. Jesus speaking again says, and now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Did you notice he says, now Lord, it's time. He says, the round trip is about to be over. He said, I come to thee. Wait a minute, that's where he left from. But you know what? He's there today, complete. Everything is finished. It was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. No unforeseen problems. God already knew everything. He already knew Jesus was going to be beaten. He already knew a crown of thorns was going to be on his head. He already knew he was going to die on a cross. By the way, he already knew that he would be forsaken as well. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, Jesus not only took our sins upon him, my dear friend, listen very carefully. The scripture says he became sin for us. You see, no unforeseen problems. Every place, And every person along this journey benefited. Everybody benefited. Everybody that Jesus came in contact said, oh no, preacher, I know some that didn't benefit from it. Well, you might be thinking about the Pharisees and Sadducees and the lawyers and things that, oh yeah, they benefited from it. You say, how did they benefit? Because they heard the truth. They may have rejected the truth, but bless God, they heard the truth. He said, what about that rich young ruler that said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? No, he benefited because he heard the truth. The problem is he rejected the truth. And he turned away, and as far as we know, lost without God and in hell today. You see, it was a journey that was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. Everybody benefits. Jesus returned home safely and accomplished every purpose in his journey. You see, you know where Jesus is today? At the right hand of God, he returned home safely. You know what? When we pulled in that driveway after we took that two-week trip and stuff, we got home safely and we're like, man, that's a long trip. How long do you think it was for Jesus having to spend 33 years plus among sinful men? How do you think it was to leave the portals of heaven and come down to this earth incarnate in human flesh to spend time with us and be able to look through the eyes of man and see how wicked man is and how terrible man has been? And this all came to fruition as they crucified the Lord. You see, everything happened exactly as planned by the Father, and the journey is still going perfect. It was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. Here's one thing I want you to digest, and I'm done. It was a people journey. Amen? And let that digest just a minute. I said it's a people journey. You know why this journey was even taken? It was taken not for himself. It was taken for you and I. That journey from the right hand of the Father to the womb of a virgin girl to a manger to a horse stall to Nazareth to Egypt and so forth and to a cross to a tomb and back to the right hand of the Father was all taken because of you and I. It was a people journey. It was a journey with nothing else in mind but you and I. May I remind you in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, Jesus spoke, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what that is? That's a people journey. He had one focus and one focus in mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 told us that Jesus was focused on one thing, and that was finishing the journey. And he did it, listen to me now, with joy. For the joy that was set before him. Because you know what he saw? He saw your soul and my soul. He saw the condemnation of sin and its effect on our hearts and our lives. Are you still there in John 17? Look at verse number 9. In his prayer, notice what Jesus said. He said, I pray for them. Boy, you know who that them is? That's us. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. It was a people journey. It was planned, it was perfect, and it was all people oriented. Jesus took the journey and it was joy. He was excited. Why? Because he was the answer for your sin and my sin. You see, Jesus blessed people all throughout the journey. And can I say to you this morning, he's still blessing people. The journey's finished. You see, Jesus had us in mind throughout the whole journey, but he's still blessing today. My parents are getting on up in age, and from time to time we go home, and of course they don't do this too much anymore because of technology and stuff, but I remember when my wife and I were younger, we'd go home, and my parents always liked to get the movies out. I don't mean CD or DVD movie, I'm talking about the reel-to-reel movies. And they had a projector to play it too. And we used to sit and watch all of these reel-to-reel movies about when all the kids were just little bitty things and we're riding around on tricycles and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Of course, it was all black and white. You say, how boring can that be? You know what? When we sat there and watched those, We did the same thing you do when you go home and you pull your picture album out. And you sit there and you drool over all those trips. Oh, wasn't this great? Oh, we need to take this trip again someday. You ever tell yourself that? Can I say something to you? Some of us today, we need to take this trip again. We need to take the trip again and remind ourselves about what our Savior did for us. About how He left the portals of heaven. You say, oh, I don't have any pictures. You got a Bible, don't you? Take the trip again. Hey, today's the birthday of the Son of God. How many of us today are going to take the trip? How many of us today are going to open our Bible and read to our family about what today actually means? And what the purpose of today is. We'll sit around and look at our picture albums and drool over the trips we've taken around the world. When's the last time we've sat and opened the Bible up and drooled over the trip Jesus took? From the cradle to the cross. From the throne to a virgin womb. To a cross, to a tomb, and back to the right hand of the Father. I'm here to tell you today that the next leg of the trip's coming up real soon. That next trip, that next leg He's going to take is we're going to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and then we're going to come back to this earth and rule and reign with Him 1,000 years, and then we'll be with Him for all eternity. So, I can't wait to take that trip. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Some of you kiddos, when mom and dad told you where you're taking vacation, man, you almost had an out-of-body experience, didn't you? Because you were excited. Oh, you couldn't wait. They're asking, how many more days? How many more days is it? My wife and granddaughter and oldest daughter and her aunt just got back a few weeks ago from Disney World. And I'd planned this trip for a long time. And my 6-year-old granddaughter, for months, well, she had, they didn't take the trip till the end of November, but she was packed the 1st of September. She's ready to roll. But you know what? Between that time and the time they left, almost every day, Nanny, how many days to Disney World? How many days is it till we get there? How many days is it till we take the trip so we can have some fun and be together? I wonder how many of us today will kneel with our families and say, oh, Lord Jesus, how many days is it? How many days until we're able to get on board here and travel with you and to help in the completion of the whole journey? But I want to tell you today, thank God for the journey. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, He did it for you. I said it was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. And it was a people journey. Would you bow your heads this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I've had a born-again experience in Jesus. I've embraced the grace of Christ. And I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. No question about it. I'm saved and happy about it. Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask You this morning, and I come to You this morning through the blood of Jesus and boldly before the throne of grace. For Father, we have nowhere else to go in time of need. And we pray this morning that You would bless this service. Thank You, Lord, for these dear people coming out on this great day, this high day for us in Christianity, celebrating the birth of Jesus, Your only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, our Counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, and we're thankful for it. But Father, there are some that could not raise their hand just a moment ago because they didn't know that they had Jesus in their hearts this morning. Please, what a greater day. I can't think of a greater day that it could be than getting born into the family of God on the birthday of the King. Would You convict? Would You move, Holy Spirit, as You promised that You would? Would You bless this message? Would You bless, Lord, as we've tried together today to learn a little bit about the journey of Your lovely Son? It was a planned journey, all planned out perfectly. It was a perfect journey. Jesus didn't miss a step, didn't walk, take a crooked step through the whole way, but it was a people journey. You had us in mind. And so I pray, Lord, You'd move where and convict, Holy Spirit, where conviction needs to take place. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. Maybe you're here this morning on this Christmas morning and you'd say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. You know, during this Christmas season, I've thought about my soul. I've thought about my life multiple times. And you say, preacher, I just can't honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. You say, if I died today, preacher, I don't know where I'd go. I want to go to heaven. Maybe you have some doubt about your salvation, regardless of what it is. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. How many would say, preacher, I can honestly say that heaven's my home. Would you please pray for me? If you're like that this morning, would you slip your hand up? Nobody's looking at me. Just slip it up way up high and say, that's me, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not a Christian. I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? We'll join this one. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. I can't think of a greater day to obey God in believers' baptism than on the birth of the King. Maybe you're here this morning like that and you say, preacher, pray for me. I've been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. I need to take care of business for God. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Already been saved, never been baptized. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody? Anybody? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. All right. Then let me ask you one last thing. I mean, say, preacher, I haven't already, but sometime today, either with my family or in my personal devotion time, I'm going to take the journey again. I'm going to get the album of the Word of God out again and read about the virgin birth of Christ and about the journey that He took from the portals and the prestige and honor of heaven to come down to this world, travel for 33 and a half years, and then end at a cross, a tomb, and then back to the right hand of God. You say, preacher, I haven't done so already, but sometime today I'm going to take the journey again and just refresh my heart and spirit over the journey and what Jesus has done for me. So I haven't done it already, preacher, but I'm going to sometime today. Won't you slip your hand right past? I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the Bible out. I'm going to take a look and open the Scriptures up. Look at the picture album of what God has done for me. So I hadn't already done it, but I'm going to do it today. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask that You meet the needs of hearts this morning. Father, would You fill this altar with people, Lord, coming today? Just, Lord, if they just need to come and pray, then just whatever the need is, would You move? Maybe there's some family matters that need to be taken care of. Move today in that area. And we'll give all the praise and glory to Thee in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'll begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, whatever your need is, you come. Maybe you said, preacher, I was a little embarrassed to raise my hand just a moment ago. That's fine. You just step out where you are right now. Come on. Come on. Just step out. If you slipped your hand up and you said, preacher, I haven't taken the journey here around the birth of Christ, but sometime today I'm going to open up, take a look at the album, read to my family about the virgin birth and about the journey Jesus took to save my soul. Sometimes we take so much for granted. I'm just here to tell you, church, listen to me. It was all planned out. It was a planned journey. It was a perfect journey. But you listen to me. It was a people-oriented journey. It was all for us. It was all for us.
I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to.
You come. If you just need someone to pray with, you come. I know it's Christmas Day, but listen, what a greater day.